change.
Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for the Sports Company on 97.7. Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Season 11. Episode 19, Ben Carlisle coming to you live from the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. John Tabor running the board. Beck Haynes has the night off. Got a work dinner. Yeah, we've heard that trick before, but hopefully Beck will join us for the final three shows after tonight. Only three shows left, crazy to think about, but certainly a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse, O'Neill Gas, and our title sponsor, First National Bank. Thank you guys for all that you do for us, for keeping us on the air year after year, 11 years now that we've been running with Bleed Tech Blue Radio. You can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts text line or hotline, 888-993-7762. You can also watch us live tonight on the Sports Talk 977 Facebook page. Get your questions in. If you have anything for us, we'd love to answer any of your questions, whether it be Bulldog football, Bulldog recruiting, Bulldog basketball, you know, or even if you want to respond to our question of the night, what school is the number two team in the state when it comes to the gridiron? That's something that I'm going to dive into in the next segment. Great writer down in South Louisiana, Jeff Duncan. I'm sure many of you are familiar with him. After Tulane beat the Raging Cajuns in the Cure Bowl, Jeff Duncan said that Tulane is the undisputed number two team in the state. Blows my mind, and I will address it in the next segment because I don't know if you agree with me, but Tulane had a nice year. Kudos to them. I think Willie Fritz is doing a great job. But
what'd they end up?
7-6. Right. They're not the number two team in the state. Yeah, six winning seasons in the last 37 years.
They may have the second best team. You'd have to play it on the field.
Yeah, well.
But the undisputed part, come on, man.
Well, and on top of it, six winning seasons in the last 37 years. Win a little more, and I'll consider it.
But I think year in, year out, it's a three-horse, and quite frankly, recently, it's been a two-horse race each year.
Exactly. LSU, Louisiana Tech, and...
Well, you know, you got LSU's LSU.
Okay, you're talking Tech, ULL.
Tech and ULL, and then Tulane.
Yeah, and like you said, Tulane's been... Their program's getting better. We can't.
ULM's trying to get through the doorway, and
Matt
Vietor's
doing a great job.
Absolutely,
yeah, of course. So that's what we're going to address in the second or in the next segment. We'll take a look at the article that Jeff Duncan wrote. Also, play a little bit of a podcast clip where Jeff doubled down, saying that Tulane was the undisputed number two team in the state. Mike Dettillier, he's been on the show before. Excellent. I'll just call him a football junkie, is what Mike is. Whether it's high school, college, or pro, he's the best in the business. He'll join us at 6:30. We'll talk some Tech recruiting, talk a little bit about some of Tech's South Louisiana commitments and signees. Also touch a little bit on Jalen Ferguson's draft stock as well. May touch on O'Shea Dugas as well. You know, those two guys are probably Tech's top two NFL draft prospects as we get ready for the draft in April. Kane McGuire, SID for the Dunkin' Dogs, will join us at 7 p.m. Dunkin' Dogs finished off a great weekend at home, picking up home wins over UAB and Middle Tennessee to move to 13-5 overall, 3-2 in Conference USA play. Taves and I were talking about it before the show. This team has some talent. You got to give Eric Conkle some credit. He certainly delivered when it comes to bringing some talent to Ruston, but on the opposite end of that, you have some injuries. You talk about, you know, obviously Xavier Christian's been out for quite a while. Derek Jean's out as well. So really only a 7-man rotation, maybe 8 when you look at the freshman Stacey Thomas. Real quick text on the text line from Quint. Even ULL is better than Tulane. Tech is the undisputed number 2 team in the state. Now, I would have to agree with Quint at this point. And granted, if you're going to claim that you're the number 2 team undisputed in the state.
No, are we going to go specific team this year, or are we going to go overall program?
Well, I think you have to go with overall program when you're making such a bold, hard statement. Now, if you want to say they're the number 2 team in the state this year, well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
again, play it on the field.
Yeah, you got to play it on the field to find out. And, you know, any team can luck up and win 10 games in a year. I mean, FAU, prime example, won 11 games last year. Everyone's darling across the country. What do you see in 2018? They quickly slide back into mediocrity, and they might come out of it. But, like I'm saying, you can't say undisputed number 2 team in the state. So we're going to address that in the next segment. Like I said, Lady Texter split 2 road games at UAB in Middle Tennessee. Actually picked up a really nice win Thursday night in Birmingham over a 14-1 UAB team, 73-68. I know Kiara Anthony was phenomenal throughout the week. But Saturday, not exactly the same result on the road in Murfreesboro at Middle Tennessee, losing 75-38. Lady Texter's now 9-8 overall, 1-2 in Conference USA play. I mentioned Kiara Anthony having a great game against UAB, played pretty well against Middle Tennessee as well on her way to being named the Conference USA and Louisiana Sports Writers Player of the Week. Seems like week in and week out, she's garnering some type of award. She's averaging 23 points and 5 rebounds in the 2 games. I think she's averaging over 24 points per game. So she's having a phenomenal year. When you look at Brooke Storr's team, like I said, 9-8 overall, certainly some room for growth in that program. If they're going to be able to, I'm not going to say challenge for a Conference USA regular season championship, but really it all boils down to the tournament at this point. So be interesting to see their trajectory throughout the remainder of the regular season. Shifting gears a little bit, back to the football field, Jalen Ferguson, he'll begin Senior Bowl practice next week. I think I was looking today, Todd McShay, ESPN guy, ESPN writer, ESPN analyst, covers the NFL draft really well, had Ferguson as his 30th ranked player on his draft board. I think Mel Kiper has Ferguson as his 17th ranked player. So I don't think it would be any surprise to see Jalen go in the first round. But Senior Bowl, bring out your best, Mr. Ferguson. Cement yourself into the first round. O'Shea Dugas played left tackle for the Bulldogs this year. He'll play guard at the next level in the NFL. Is actually participating in the East-West Shrine Game this week. I know Sean and the guys had a guy on from the Shrine Game and said O'Shea's results have been a little mixed, and I don't think that's to be surprised at this point. Having played tackle all year, have to shift back inside to guard, I think there's a lot more assignments, a lot more to kind of figure out. So he's probably going to freshen up a little bit, but hopefully he can get things in gear and find his way into, you know, a late-round draft pick. For sure going to be an undrafted free agent. Emmanuel Turner, a little bit of an unsung hero, I guess you could say. Played opposite on the other side of the defensive line at defensive end for the Bulldogs, opposite Jalen Ferguson. He accepted an invite to the NFL PA Bowl. And punter Davin Dyer, the Australian, has accepted an invite to the Tropical Bowl. Tapes, is there a new All-Star game every year?
I guess I'm old enough. I remember the Blue-Gray game and the Senior Bowl.
Yep. And I think,
you know. Then you had the Hula Bowl.
Yep. And you have to wonder if they keep adding these.
So I guess there's, what, about three now?
Yeah, there's, okay, you know, there's four right now, I believe.
Four.
And I understand.
Maybe that's because they're being played later.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, they want to be able to see literally every prospect possible.
Well, I get it. It's a, you know, the NFL loves it because it's a great talent evaluation.
Exactly.
Especially in the practices, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the main thing. You know, we've watched the Senior Bowl year after year, and it's extremely difficult to put together.
I mean, if it gives more young men a chance to, you know, showcase their talent and ability and get a chance to, you know, play at the next level, then I don't have a problem with it.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So those four Bulldogs will be participating in some of these All-Star games coming up, with Dugas starting this week in the East-West Shrine game. Looking a little bit at some NFL action, I know last week we had the opportunity to pick some of the games. Saints defeat the Eagles. Boston Scott wraps up his rookie season right where it started. You remember, a former draft pick of the New Orleans Saints before he was cut and re-signed to the practice squad before the Eagles signed him on December 11th. Boston did not get a carry in his rookie season, but he did have 7 kick returns for 150 yards over the course of 4 games. That's an average of 21.4 yards per return. I think he had 1 return against the Saints on Sunday for 19 yards. So certainly hope that Boston continues to have success, continues to make his way into a contributor on a weekly basis in the NFL. Hopefully, I'm hoping that we can get Boston on before the end of the year. I know we had him on before the season started. He's always been such a fan favorite, you know, coming from Zachary High School, a walk-on at Louisiana Tech before he earned a scholarship and earned his way into the NFL, becoming an NFL draft pick. So hopefully we'll have him on in one of the last few shows as well. Rams defeat the Cowboys, a game that was probably not as close as the score would indicate. I believe the final was 30-22.
I felt that score was indicative of the game.
You did?
Cowboys get that stop, they get the ball back with a chance to tie it up.
Yeah, and, you know, had the perfect opportunity, and who would have guessed Jared Goff on a boot?
That's a good play call.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, was that a called run, or was that kind of a
– probably
an
option.
He probably had an option on it, and he didn't see a quick read, then
– tuck it and run. And, you know, he picks up 8 or 9 yards on 3rd and 7 and really puts Dallas away. I thought – you know, I really thought Dak played – one heck of a football game at quarterback. I know he missed some throws, but Zeke was being stuffed for the Cowboys, so, you know, more of it fell on Dak having to beat the Rams with his arm, and I thought he played pretty well. Of course, a local kid from Halton.
Well, it looks like he may have a second receiver.
Yeah.
Because Gallup really stepped up. And he's a rookie.
He's young.
That's something they can build with if you're a Cowboys fan. You got to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, and Gallup was such a good receiver at Colorado State as well. And like you said, he's just got to continue to grow within that offense. Xavier Woods, West Monroe product, wrapped up his second season with the Cowboys, finished with 56 tackles, 9 pass breakups, 2 interceptions. He played in 14 out of 18 games. I think he was injured a little bit, but he started all 14 of those games. So he has cemented his status in that very good Dallas defense.
I'm not one bit surprised.
Well, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like every week we saw a clip of Xavier Woods just crushing a receiver over the middle. He's a thumper back there, and he wasn't really known as a thumper at Tech. You know, he is more of that guy that, you know, I think he ended up with 13 career interceptions, but he's played really well for Dallas and certainly proven his worth to that franchise. Chiefs beat the Colts. I'm not going to say the surprise of the weekend, but maybe the fashion in which it was done. 31-13 is what caught most of us by surprise. I certainly didn't see Kansas City's defensive line handling the Colts' offensive line as well as they did. But, you know, you talk about D. Ford, Chris Jones out of Mississippi State, those guys, Justin Houston, they all played really well. And then the Patriots defeat the Chargers, maybe in the most least surprising win of the weekend. I know the Patriots are being overlooked, but How do you bet against Tom Brady at home in the playoffs? Ryan Allen is the lone bulldog that remains in the NFL playoffs. Is that a surprise? Allen ends up in the Super Bowl, it feels like, year after year. So happy for those former Bulldogs. Of course, join us at BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. Once Allen is eliminated from the playoffs or once the Super Bowl wraps up, I'm going to do a little piece and kind of give our readers, you know, all in one spot how each of the former Bulldogs performed in 2018. So let's go ahead, get to our first timeout. We come back after the break. We're going to debate it. Who is the number two team in the state of Louisiana on the football field? You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Game day can be every day with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Whether you want to hit the links in the number one golf cart in the world, spend family time in your Easy Go multi-passenger cart, or work around the home or farm with a new Easy Go utility cart, Fairway Carts can make it happen. So make your weekend last all week long with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART. Or visit online at fairwaycarts.net.
Reese's fans, take your Reese's love to an outrageously caramel level with the DQ Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Loaded with crazy delicious Reese's peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, and peanut butter. But then it's topped off with game-changing caramel. That's outrageous. So stop in and taste all this insane caramel with the Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Only at your DQ at participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle coming to you live from the Sports Talk 977 studios here in Ruston, Louisiana. Before we went to the break, I mentioned that Jeff Duncan, writes for, of course, NOLA.com. After Tulane picked up their first bowl win since 2002, stated that Tulane Green Wave staked its claim as the undisputed number two college football program in the state. And, you know, rightfully so. He was quick to point out that, you know, we're number two is not always a popular rallying cry, but it's pretty obvious. And we all understand that LSU's the number one team in the state. They're the flagship university. And what Ed Orgeron has done down in Baton Rouge in his two-plus season certainly deserves to garner some respect within the state. But you talk about Tulane, are they the number two team in the state? Well, as Duncan points out, it was just their fifth bowl win in 125 years of a program. Tech has five bowl wins in the last 5 years. I'm going to leave it at that, you know. And he goes on to state that, you know, an American team should handle a Sun Belt team in that manner. And I would have to listen. The American Conference, they like to stake their claim as Power Six, quote unquote. But if we're being honest with one another, UCF is on the highest of highs right now for their program. Respect. They even picked up a grad transfer quarterback from Notre Dame today, Brandon Wimbush. So I don't think they're going to be taking a step back. But outside of UCF right now, who can state their claim that they're head and shoulders above any other team in the G5? I would have to disagree. But Jeff Duncan believes that Tulane is the undisputed number two team in the state of Louisiana. Here he is on Tulane's Fear the Wave blog podcast, doubling down on stating his claim that Tulane is the undisputed number two team in the state.
Some big picture perspective from you before we close this off, because I think you always write some interesting things about how Tulane fits in the bigger picture of New Orleans sports. One column after that bull win, I really strongly recommend to any Green Wave fan. It's titled, "Ascending Tulane Football Program Makes Statement with Their Bull Win." A major point you made, Jeff, is that Tulane has established itself as the number two power in the state. And I know that's something that might have rustled some feathers in the comments from fans of other schools. So let me play devil's advocate here. If I'm a fan of another in-state school like ULL or Louisiana Tech, why is Tulane, in your mind, solidly in position to be number two going forward?
Yeah, you're right. I did ruffle some feathers. I think I heard from a lot of Louisiana Tech fans on that. And look, I love Louisiana Tech. I covered, that was my first job in journalism in the business working up in Monroe. I covered Louisiana Tech. So they've got a soft spot in my heart. But the fact is they're in a, well, let's just talk about Tulane. Tulane is in a better conference. I don't think anybody would deny that. The American Athletic Conference, and it clearly has established itself, as a power six, as they say. It's the best program in the group of five by far, very much more competitive. And the Tulane athletic budget is larger than those other schools. They have a wider recruiting base, certainly can have a national profile. We've seen that some of the recruits they brought in because of the brand of Tulane Academics. And I think they've done a very smart thing in using the city of New Orleans as an attraction. I mean, it's a global destination city. And I think the NOLA Built campaign has been very smart, taking advantage of that. It certainly works for Tulane Academics. It should work for Tulane Athletics. And those, I think, resources that Tulane can call on certainly, I think, give them a leg up on anybody else in the state other than LSU. And I think they're well on the way to doing that. I mean, the way they handled Louisiana Lafayette in that game compared to what it was just 2 years earlier when they played them, and even before when they played them in the New Orleans Bowl, I think shows is a perfect example of how far the program's come. And I think we all agree this past year was not, the end season for Tulane. This was not a senior-laden team that everybody knew was going to be their best team going forward. I think it's, like I said, an ascending program that has better days ahead of it, and that was just a perfect example of it.
Listen, and you talk about, Jeff saying that, this isn't the end point for Tulane. Well, obviously, like Tapes and I were talking about, anything that he just said was not factually incorrect. But what is factually incorrect is that Tulane has won enough in recent years to clearly, undisputedly, be the number two team in the state. Are their academics great? Absolutely. I don't think anyone in America would deny that. Do they have a great athletic budget, one that is particularly higher than Louisiana Tech? Absolutely. Tech's budget is third to last among FBS schools in the country. So I don't think what he's saying is incorrect. But if you're going to make such a bold statement, you have to be able to back it up with wins on the football field. It's that simple. If you're not winning, who cares if you have a big budget? I mean, Nebraska has a big budget. Illinois has a big budget. But they're not winning year in and year out at the level that could be considered successful. Listen, Tulane in the last 5 years is 24-39 overall. Let that sink in. 24-39. And you're going to claim that you're the number two team in the state because of a 7-6 season that resulted in a win over ULL, albeit a rebuilding ULL program? Complete blasphemy. Tech in the last 5 years, 42-25. Now, I get it. Here's the age-old argument. Well, Tech's in Conference USA, and the conference isn't as strong as the AAC. Whose problem is that? There's a reason that Tech continues to win year in and year out. It's because they continue to go into the Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, and sometimes into that New Orleans area and pluck players out of there that can play the game of football at a high level that leads to them winning more than any other program in the state outside of LSU. It's pretty cut and dry for me. Since 2014, the last 5 years, all this data is coming from Sports Reference. I mentioned Tulane being 24-39. LSU's 44-19. ULL, 31-33. Right there, I could state claim that ULL has a better program as a whole than Tulane. Would I say it? Probably not. I think Willie Fritz is one heck of a football coach. It takes some guts to bench your quarterback to go to Justin McMillan, the LSU transfer, who played exceptionally well. If McMillan can't get the job done in 2019, he's got a Southern Miss transfer, Keon Howard, on the bench. This time a year from now in 2020, we might be saying that Tulane is the number two team in the state. But right now, that's false. ULM is 20-41. So you're telling me that Tulane has four more wins than ULM. And let's cut Matt Viator some slack. He had a big mess to clean up. But that does not mean, like, I wouldn't even say it's fair to say that Tulane is head and shoulders better than ULM. Okay, so what? Tulane's 2-0 against Louisiana Tech in their history. You beat us in 1998. You had Sean King. Tapes, you remember Sean King?
Yep.
He could sling it. I remember that game vividly in the Superdome.
With Bowden, they ran the table, didn't
they? Oh, yeah. 12-0. That was the best team in Tulane history. And then they beat Tech in 2013. Anyone remember what Tech was in 2013? 4-8.
That may have been, I'll be honest, Ben, that's the worst game I've ever seen in Joe A.
Oh, it was ugly. Was that the night that Kenneth Dixon injured his knee? I believe it was. And I'll be honest, when I saw the hit, I thought he was done. And Higgins was a freshman quarterback. Scotty Young, the Texas Tech transfer, was a junior. I can't remember exactly who threw the pass. I believe it was Young. Just leaves Dixon out to dry in the flat. And I believe it was Nico Marley, Bob's nephew, just absolutely crushed Dixon. Okay, so you've had six winning seasons in the last 37 years. Yeah, Tech's done that in the last 7 years. I don't think you can sit here and state claim that you are the undisputed number two team in the state of Louisiana. That's factually incorrect. Maybe we'll have Jeff on in a couple weeks to stake his claim. We obviously want to give him a chance to voice his side of things. But right now, until you start winning on the field, I don't want my phone to ring. Until all these cliche beliefs, until then, all these cliche beliefs are just another opinion. When we come back after the break, we'll have Mike Dettillier on, talk some Louisiana Tech recruiting, Jalen Ferguson's draft stock. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Thielen's staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud LaTeX supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle here in the Sports Talk 977 studios. John Tabor running the board and joining us on the Fairway Cards hotline, college and football analyst Mike Dettillier. How are we doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Mike, we were talking in the previous segment about who is the number two team in the state on the college level behind LSU at this point. Your thoughts on that as we speak today?
It's a dead heat. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I see Tech more and more involved from Baton Rouge on down. But to be honest with you, the Raging Cajuns have done a really good job. You know, new head coach come in. Man, he has sold that program really hard down here in the New Orleans area, in the Bayou region, River Parish area, where they got a lot of talent. And so, man, it's a fist fight. You know, Tulane has had some difficulties, really has, trying to work its way in there. They in the hunt, but right now I think it's between Louisiana Tech and the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we would say. You know, we were saying that, you know, Tulane had a nice year, but I don't think they're ready to step up to that number two spot solely just quite yet, but Willie Fritz is certainly doing a good job. And we brought you on to talk a little bit about, you know, Tech's 2019 recruiting class. We'll also touch on Jalen Ferguson's draft stock before we wrap it up. But the first player we wanted to ask you about out of Como High School, a cornerback, a really good size, I think a really good get for the Bulldogs, and Christian Archangel.
Yeah, Christian's a guy I got to see play a couple times, actually. He attended a couple camps I was at. He's a good-sized corner. He's over 6 foot tall. That's 175, 180 range. Where I think initially he may make an impact is in the slot, because of the fact you're seeing more and more teams sort of stealing what Sean Payton did with the Saints years ago. Slot receivers were normally the smaller guys. And he started to put Marcus Colston inside in the slot. And since that, everybody's kind of taken that bit in a piece. And so you got to match up against a taller receiver if he's in the slot. That's where I think initially Christian is probably going to see some playing time, because of the fact he does match up well. And, you know, again, who you play in matters. So you're playing a lot of spread teams, three wide receiver offenses. They're looking for a mismatch. They believe you're going to play that smaller corner inside. Well, with Christian, he gives you that angle that he could play that inside position in the slot, going up against a taller receiver. He's a really good athlete, very focused young man. I can't say he's a ball hawk, hands-wise. He can get better. He's got to work on that particular part. But what I like about him is it doesn't take long for him to figure out what's going on the field. His comprehension issues of what's breaking down in front of him is very quick. He's sudden to the football. Just work on catching the ball a little bit better.
Absolutely, and staying on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary. Cornerback, I know he was recruited as a running back by Memphis, but I just love the potential upside for Charvis Thornton out of Southern Lab.
He's an interesting player, and you write about it, you know, because a lot of teams were looking at him sort of the athlete of where you were going to play him. Could he play running back? I've had some teams talk to me about we'd like to play him as a slot receiver because of his run after catch skills. The cornerback position, excuse me, would seem to be a natural for him. He's got real quick feet. He does a real nice job of reading and recognizing when he plays on defense, kind of what's breaking down in front of him. He's going to need a little technical work with his footwork as a corner, if that's where you're going to play him. But he's fast at a football, and he's got really good hands. He's got ball reaction skills. I can't teach that. No coach can. Either you have it or you don't. He's got that ability. He's been on a really good football team, well coached there, understands this extremely well. I'll be honest, I didn't think he'd sign in the first period. I really didn't, because I think he'd have had other schools try to come in on that late. But, man, listen, that's a big pickup for Tech, for Thornton, because I think he's got a chance to play and very early for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a really good player. And, you know, you look at a year ago, Tech goes down to West Feliciana and picks up one of the most electrifying playmakers in the state, and Smoke Harris also adds his teammate in Derek Turner. This year they go in, add a safety in Kyrie Morrison that I had an opportunity to see this summer. Looks like another really good player from West Feliciana.
Man, I don't know what's getting the water there, but it's sure pretty good. Man, they put out some players in St. Francisville, so it's a hot spot. When I look at him, I see with Kyrie is a strong safety. He comes up the field fast. Almost plays like another linebacker. He's well built for a young man, you know, as a teenager. He's 6 foot and a half, somewhere in that range, 190. And so you can see he's got a nose for the football, a really good open field tackler. He's rangy, can run the field extremely well, but his run defense skills is very good. And again, he's gotten better in the coverage part of the game. I attended a 7-on-7 situation, which he played. Man, he was a ball hawk out there. He knocked down a lot of throws. So you can see he's improved in that area of the game. But where initially you're going to see him make an impact is his read and react skills coming up the field and run defense. He does a very good job of it. He's aggressive. And, man, he hits you. You know you've been hit. He really packs a wallop. For a guy that's not 200 pounds.
And, you know, you look at over at East Ascension, Deshaun Hall, he didn't sign in the early period. I know he picked up some late offers from Wisconsin and TCU. Seems like a player that's probably going to end up at defensive tackle. His recruitment's really taken off. What are some things that you see him, and hopefully the Bulldogs can get him to sign on the dotted line come February?
Yeah, he's the guy that he went to the LSU camp, so I got to see him. He came to our offensive defensive lineman camp, at Nicholls State here in Thibodeau. And so I got to see him. He's a 6'2" guy. I would say, you know, he looks to be 255, 260, somewhere in that range. So he's got some growth he can put in there. Knows how to use his arms and hands well. He's a leverage guy. He's quick with his hands, almost like an MMA boxer. He physically needs to get a little stronger and add a little bit of weight. And you're right, he probably will end up playing that defensive tackle position. But I think you will see him moved around a little bit because he's got some pass rush skills. That is the hardest position to find today in college football and in the professional ranks. A guy that can put pressure on the quarterback. I like his initial step coming off the football, getting in. I know Pete Jenkins really praised him at the lineman's camp of how quick he was off the snap and his ability to use his arms and hands well. And Pete sort of worked with him. with his leverage skills extremely well. You know, Papa Pete, he's been coaching defensive linemen almost as long as I've been living. So, you know, he's a really good prospect. But, again, he's a guy that's got a lot of people attracting him. You can see, again, that big man that can play up front. He'll probably have a redshirt year. And then as a redshirt freshman, you're probably talking about a guy that's going to be 275, 280. And again, his ability to put pressure on the quarterback is really strong. And I loved his technical skills, what I saw when he worked out.
And Tech had the opportunity, Tech fans did, to watch Jonathan Barnes become the program's all-time leading scorer over his four-year career. What are they getting, whether he ends up being a kicker or a punter, in Jacob Barnes?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they got a lot of people that were sort of looking at him a lot of different ways. He's a guy that, to me, I give him a shot to be a kicker, a place kicker. Again, similar to pass rushers, they are difficult to find. The big difference is consistency. That's what you want to see, and how well they handle pressure. It's different. I don't care how you cut it, if it's junior high school, college, pros, how well you handle pressure kicks. And so I'd give him a shot as a place kicker first. He's got a real strong leg, nice delivery. But again, I think it's going to come down to how consistent he can be as a place kicker. But, man, he's got some skills there, and he has some teams sniffing around him pretty strong.
And the final recruit I'm going to ask you about is my favorite player in this class. And I believe sometimes he was overshadowed with all the talent at a meet when you talk about Gilmore, Devontae Lee, Sopshire as well. Kyle Maxwell seems like a player, you know, 6'3", 180-pound receiver that has a really nice chance to make a big impact at the next level.
Listen, Tech is a perfect fit. I mean, because he's a size receiver with some giddy-up after the catch. He runs well with it after the reception. But he's going to need a little bit of work as a route runner. But this is where 7-on-7 has changed the world. Kyle has been doing that for 3 or 4 years on 7-on-7. And so he understands the pitch and catch part of the game. I agree with you. I think he is one of the most underrated players in the state of Louisiana because of that size factor, his ability to get open downfield, and what he can do with the football after the catch. When you got a 6'2.5", 6'3" receiver, most corners today, you know, are at 5'11", maybe you're stretching it to 6 foot. Now you've got a guy basically 6'3". You just put the ball up in the air and go get it. Those back shoulder throws, which you see so much today at both the college and professional level, I agree with you 100%. I think Maxwell is the sleeper player in the state of Louisiana, and I think he could have an immediate impact as a freshman. That's how good he is.
Yeah, certainly some high praise from Maxwell. Before we let you get out of here, Bulldog fans spent the last 4 years on the field, 5 years in total, having the opportunity to watch Jalen Ferguson becomes the NCAA's all-time leading sack leader. What are Ferguson's pro prospects, and how have you seen him grow from his high school days at West Feliciana?
Well, he's tipped the scales a little bit higher than when I saw him in high school. In fact, Coach Ogeron and I were talking about him last week and about how you just saw, you know, a young man who was 200, a little bit more, and how he grew into that big body. I think he's a guy from NFL perspective similar to Marcus Davenport, where you go to the Senior Bowl, you showcase your skill set there. I think he'll probably end up going anywhere from 17 to 22 in round one. But great athlete, a guy that can get up the field really well, tremendous closing speed to the quarterback. But I think what teams will like about him, once they sit down and see that film, is he don't quit on a play. He keeps going. He's got a red-hot motor. He's got an aggressive streak in him. And he plays the run well. You know, you would think for a guy that is noted as a pass rusher, maybe that's not his forte. But he does a good job in run support. I think he's going to light it up when he goes to Mobile. because of the fact it's a hard position to find. This is the best year I've ever done defensive lineman-wise, and I've done this 34 years. But it's mostly interior guys, defensive tackle, nose guard position. The edge pass rushers, again, I'll repeat it, they're the hardest positions to find, and, you know, from high school to college, college to the pros. And, man, I think the world of Ferguson. I think he's got a shot to be a big-time player. And I think a teens to early 20s pick in round one.
Absolutely, Mike. Some really good stuff tonight. We appreciate you coming on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As always, how can our listeners follow your work online?
SaintsReport.com, also WWL.com.
Absolutely. Mike Dettillier, college and pro NFL analyst. Certainly love having Mike on year after year as he breaks down Louisiana Tech, South Louisiana recruits, and also gave us an in-depth look at Jalen Ferguson's draft stock. I thought it was particularly impressive speaking about Ferguson's motor. Mike described it as a red-hot motor, and I think that's something that Bulldog fans had the opportunity to really see this year. So it'll be interesting to see where Ferguson ends up in the NFL draft. But we're going to go ahead and take our next time out. When we come back from the break, we'll talk some Dunkin' Dog basketball. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get more fun out of everything you do with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. For years, Fairway Carts has been this area's choice for EasyGo gas or electric golf carts, multi-passenger carts, rugged utility carts for work, and EasyGos for hunting too. With a full line of accessories and expert service department, Fairway Carts delivers it all. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, John Tabor, coming at you live from the Sports Talk 977 studios. This time last week, it was a little doom and gloom for the Bulldogs. The Dunkin' Dogs on the hardwood after two road losses at North Texas and at Rice. But the Bulldogs got things back in gear this week at home, playing against a really good UAB team, a team that, you know, probably not performing as well as they would like to, but still a really good program, a program that is used to winning year in and year out. So have to give the Bulldogs some credit for the 64-53 win over UAB on Thursday night. The Bulldogs then followed that up with a 73-56 win over the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee. You look back at the UAB game on Thursday night, Tech was stellar on the defensive end of the floor, and that's some that we've seen issues with Tech defensively at times. I'm not going to say, you know, game in and game out, but there's been some slow starts, particularly against North Texas. You know, they weren't really shooting the ball well from the floor. defense was suffering on the other end because of it. Tech did not allow UAB to score in the first 4.5 minutes of that game. It was just, you think about exciting basketball, you think of high scoring, dunking dogs, so to speak, that we became so accustomed to in the Mike White era. But Tech, it was just truly a joy to watch those guys really get into a defensive stance and really get after the Blazers. Tech was able to limit UAB to only 37% shooting from the field. The Blazers also entered the game top 20 nationally in rebounding. Tech was able to end up tying the Blazers on the boards with 36 apiece. I really thought, the rebounding advantage was big for Tech, and then you look at Tech limiting Zach Bryant and Jalen Perry to combined 8 of 22 from the field, who came into the game, leading the team with, both of those guys averaging over 12 points per game. So you limit those guys to less than 40%, and you give yourself a great chance to win. Looking at the other side, 64 points, not the most impressive points total of the year, but that's the style of play that UAB plays, and Tech was able to adapt to that. It was the Jacoby Pemberton show on the offensive player. I tell you, and Taves, I know you get to produce the games, and I'm sure you've realized the growth that he's had as a third-year sophomore, a player that many thought would potentially transfer out of the program after his redshirt freshman year. Scores 17 points, hits 5 of 8 from 3, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. Tabor, do you remember back in the Mike White era of Chris Anderson?
The name, long, lean.
Yeah, just a junkyard dog.
Yeah.
The games are a little different as far as Pemberton's not the rebounder that Anderson was, but Pemberton just does it all. He doesn't have a pretty stroke offensively, but the ball goes down. I think he's shooting 42% from three. And
that's pretty darn good.
Heck yeah, it is. It's really good. And on the other end of the floor, he's guarding the opponent's best offensive player. He's just one heck of a player for Tech, and I don't know where Tech would be without him, especially when you look at the 7- or 8-man rotation that they're throwing out there night after night. He's playing some great football or great basketball for the Bulldogs. So if you get the opportunity to come out to the Tech, call me crazy, but I think Jacoby Pemberton is worth the price of admission. He is truly fun to watch on the offensive and defensive ends of the floor. Tech then turned back around on Saturday afternoon and beat the defending Conference USA regular season champion Middle Tennessee State 73-56. Oh, how the tides have turned. Kermit Davis goes to Ole Miss. The Rebels are picked dead last in the SEC. They're currently number 18 in the country. Go up to Murfreesboro. The Blue Raiders have lost 13 games in a row. Whew. Have to feel for the fans in Murfreesboro.
I mean, that's a steep fall off.
It shouldn't be that big.
And they're not just losing games. They're getting
pounded.
They're getting thumped.
Yeah, got pounded against Southern Miss.
In contrast to what the Rebs are doing in Oxford right now for Kermit.
Yeah, exactly. As well as they're playing, the opposite end of the totem pole is...
It sounds like one of those old, I can beat you with my guys, and I can turn around and beat you with your guys.
Exactly. And I think I was looking at it today that, the new net rankings, it's kind of replaced the RPI a little bit. I think there's 331 Division I teams, and Middle Tennessee is like 307. Incredible fall off, and I get it. Giddy Potts isn't walking through that door anymore, and the talent's a little, they've lost some talent, but at the same time, the cupboard's not bare. So Antonio Green's averaging over 19 points a game. Tech was really able to limit his effectiveness in this one. Anthony DeRuggi showed Saturday the type of game that Tech fans know he has in him. It's just a matter of being able to bring that to the court night in and night out. He scores 19 points on 7 of 10 shooting. I'll be honest with you. You talk about DeRuggi, 46.5-inch vertical, 6'8", 215, 220, a freak athletically, shooting 38% from three, I believe. The kid is an incredible – he's an NBA talent. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But whether whether he gets that out of him, you know, on a nightly basis is what will determine how far basketball can truly take him. And I think that's the frustrating part of his game, is that he struggles, you know, when he's not in a rhythm, he struggles to affect the game in a positive manner. So that's one thing to really watch for with DeRuji, but he's certainly having a really nice year, averaging nearly 13 points per game for the Bulldogs. So keep an eye on DeRuji, especially as Tech gets into the middle of conference play. Amari Archibald also came out of his funk against Middle Tennessee, scored 15 points on just 8 shots. You always love to see that sort of efficiency. Also dished out 7 points and 0 turnovers. So I know Archibald's playing a lot, you know, off the ball next to Daquan Bracey, but 7 assists, no turnovers. I don't think you'll find anyone that's unhappy about that. Mo Muhammad, junior college transfer out of Bipsy, native of Nigeria, 11 points and 10 rebounds off the bench in only 21 minutes. You have to think he's going to keep creeping up and taking more, potentially taking more of Oliver Powell's minutes, you know, as we get into the middle of conference play. Powell, you know, is one of 3 captains for this team, certainly a team leader, but he really struggled Saturday, 0 points, 3 rebounds, also had 5 turnovers in only 25 minutes. But I was looking today, and it's actually on the Bleed Tech Blue message boards, one of our loyal subscribers stated that Powell actually has the best plus-minus of any player on Tech's team. So how much weight do you put into plus-minus? That's not for us to determine. But when he's on the floor, it certainly appears that Tech seems to play some of its best basketball. The freshman, Stacey Thomas, saw 11 minutes off the bench. He's the 8th guy in that Tech rotation. Scored 4 points and 3 rebounds. And I know Coach Conkle really complimented Thomas on Aaron Dietrich and Jake Martin's The Morning Drive this morning, talking about the energy that he brought to that game. And I think, you know, we'll talk with Kane McGuire in the next segment, but I think he's a guy that you'll see on the back end of these, you know, 2-game weeks for Tech. You know, as the rotation's thin, they'll try to get him some minutes to give some guys a little bit of an extra rest. So what's coming up this week? Duncan Dogs will travel to ODU Thursday night. Tip is set for 6 p.m. You can stream the game on ESPN+. Tech will then travel to Charlotte on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. That one can be streamed on CUSA-TV. Looking at the Conference USA standings, Tech's currently in 4th, so that would put them in the first pod. You know, obviously long way to go, but being in that top 4 is obviously where you want to be. Old Dominion's in 5th, and Charlotte's in 13th. Really struggling this year are the 49ers. Old Dominion 12-5 overall, 2-2 in Conference USA play. Have a big road win in the Carrier Dome against Syracuse. That's the Syracuse team who beat Duke, number 1 Duke, on the road last night. Monarchs are 8-1 at home, only loss coming to Marshall on a buzzer beater to open Conference USA play. Averaging over 6,000 fans a game. So if you've ever watched a game in Norfolk, it's certainly going to be a pretty big home court advantage. Ahmad Caver, 18 points a game. B.J. Stith, 17 points a game. Tech's going to have to really play well, particularly on the defensive end of the floor, if they're going to want to have a chance. And this one, looking at Charlotte real quick before we get to Kane McGuire in the next segment. Charlotte's 4-11 overall, 1-3. In Conference USA play under first-year head coach Ron Sanchez. John Davis leads the team in scoring, leads the conference in scoring at 21.7 points per game. He's the lone 49er averaging double figures. I mentioned Ron Sanchez in his first year. He's a former assistant at Virginia under Tony Bennett. What's one thing we know about Virginia hoops? They love to play possession by possession basketball. They really get after you on the defensive end of the floor. So we could see two really big defensive battles this week on the road as Tech goes to both Old Dominion at Charlotte. Charlotte's 3-4 on their home floor, but they do have a home win over Oklahoma State, which is pretty impressive. I know that Oklahoma State team, you know, I know they might be in the back end of the Big 12, but anytime you beat one of the upper conference schools, certainly deserves some praise for that. So that's who Tech has this week. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take our next time out. When we come back from the break, Kane McGuire, Tech's basketball sports information director, will join us to talk some more Duck and Dog Hoops. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Reese's fans, take your Reese's love to an outrageously caramel level with the DQ Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Loaded with crazy delicious Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Reese's Pieces, and peanut butter. But then it's topped off with game-changing caramel. That's outrageous. So stop in and taste all this insane caramel with the Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Only at your DQ. At participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camp, bike, paddle, and hike our state parks last year, as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds of Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Dunkin' Dogs 13-5 overall, 3-2 in Conference USA play. Getting set for a big road trip to Old Dominion Thursday night before traveling to Charlotte Saturday afternoon. And here to talk with us about the Dunkin' Dogs, Louisiana Tech basketball SID, Kane McGuire. How you doing tonight, Kane?
Doing well, Ben. Just trying to do a little laundry so I can have enough clothes to take on this long road trip coming up.
I hear you. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us. You know, you look at the last time we talked to Coach Conkle was right before the season started, and obviously the expectations were high. You know, you had a 9 or 10 man rotation. Now we've seen Xavion Christian and Derek Jean both go down due to injury, but this team has really seemed to keep things together. You talk about the trip to Costa Rica in the offseason really seems to done a lot of good. And then, you know, three big non-conference wins on the road. Just talk about the season kind of overall to this point and how the team's feeling as they get into the meat of the conference schedule.
Well, I mean, to be honest, Ben, it's kind of been the same as the past few years, unfortunately, under Coach Conkle. You know, it seems like every year we've had two or three players go down with injuries, some major injuries, and you're quickly faced with adversity. And that's been the same case this year. And you even go back with to Day-Day spraining his ankle in the season opener against Wichita State, misses two games, and then, you know, plays sparingly for the next four games after that off the bench when he wasn't 100% healthy. And you know, I can argue we haven't been 100% healthy at all year. But, you know, these guys have somehow found a way. Being 13-5 right now, coming off those two impressive wins against UAB and Middle Tennessee, I think they've got a lot of things going for them right now, and positively, they've got a good rotation going. It's definitely trending in the right direction for sure.
And, you know, you talk about Day-Day going down in that first game against Wichita State. Also missed, you know, a good chunk of last year with a back injury. But when he's in there for Tech, particularly on the offensive end of the floor with his penetrating abilities, what obviously he's special when he's doing that. But what makes him so important to Tech on the offensive end of the floor?
Well, I just think he's primarily the floor general. He sees the floor so well, and of course he has looked to score a little bit more. He did that last year, and he's done it this year too, much more so than his freshman year when he was more looking to pass first, score second. I think when other teams look at us and scout, he's probably the number one guy that they want to stop. He's been off and on a little bit with his jump shot and shooting threes, but we know he can make them, and we know he's a confident guy. And of course, he opens up so much for other players as well. And we certainly wouldn't be in this situation right now where we are if we didn't have him.
And you know, you talk about another player that has really stepped to the forefront, especially in the last couple of weeks. Redshirt sophomore Jacoby Pemberton, a guy that missed his true freshman year due to injury, saw limited time of playing a year ago, has really earned his playing time for this Tech team, especially with the injuries to Derek Jean and Xavier Christian. He's quickly becoming a fan favorite. Just seems kind of that guy that really does it all for Tech on both ends of the floor.
There's no doubt about it. I don't think we are where we are right now without him. He's definitely stepped into that role in the starting rotation with our other backcourt guys being out. And I kind of knew going into the season he would be an X factor for us just because he brings that grittiness. You know, he's got a guard-like body at 6'5", 190, but he plays like a forward. He plays much bigger, so he's not afraid to get down low, to take some shots, get dirty, take charges. And not only that, but he's improved on his jump shot so much. I mean, right now he's leading us in three-point shooting percentage as well as just field goal percentage. So he doesn't take that many shots, but he takes high-percentage shots. He's got really good shot selection. He's definitely worked on limiting his turnovers, which were a little bit of a problem earlier this season. So he's been incredible for us. He's definitely that Swiss Army knife that we need, and we'll certainly need him this week. Especially going up against Old Dominion and a guy like B.J. Stith, who's kind of in that same frame, kind of that guard-forward type player that can score and does so much for you defensively with rebounding and all the little stuff that goes with basketball.
And, you know, we talked a little earlier about the injuries to Xavier Christian and Derek Jean certainly has limited the rotation, but two players that have really taken advantage of that, Rashawn Langston and Mo Muhammad off the bench. I think they combined for 21 points on Saturday against Middle Tennessee. Talk about how important they are. I know that when you look at Langston, he just really comes off the bench and he's really firing away.
Yeah, I think Mo is the same way. You love being able to bring guys off the bench that are spark plugs, that you don't miss a beat whenever you want to rest some of your starters as far as minutes. And you bring those guys in, and, you know, Rashawn Langston's like an energizer bunny. He's got so much energy. He's not afraid to let it rip. He's got a scorer's mentality, and he's been shooting the three ball a little bit better as the season's gone on. And, of course, Mo, you know, he's very unselfish when it comes to the offensive end, but on the defensive side of the basketball, he's very greedy. He wants to get every single rebound. I mean, I think he's averaging almost 12 rebounds per 40 minutes for us. And I mean, for him to have a double-double the other night off the bench says a lot about his personality and what he brings to this basketball team.
And looking at the two road games this week against ODU and Charlotte, first to touch a little bit on ODU, Jeff Jones has done a phenomenal job building that program. Ahmad Caver and, like you mentioned, B.J. Stiff are the go-to guys. I know that center Trey Porter transferred to Nevada in the offseason. What can Bulldog fans expect to see Thursday night on the road in Norfolk?
Well, as is typical for a Jeff Jones team, they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. They're first in CUSA and sixth in the country in scoring defense, only giving up about 60 points a game. So they don't have quite the front court as we're used to seeing from them. Of course, with Porter transferring and and BJ's older brother Brandon graduating. But it's that dynamic duo with the backcourt. Caver and Stith make that thing go. I mean, they combined to score 53% of that team's points. You know, they're combining to average 36 a game. And they're so dimensional, too. They're not just one of those guys where you can go in the film room and say, look, he's just a shooter and he's just a driver. They can do it all. Stith gives a ton of rebounds, averaging 8 a game, second chance points there. And Caver, just, he can get to the rim. He can shoot threes. He's got a great handle. He can take you off the dribble. He gets to the free throw line a lot. So those guys are so multidimensional that it's hard to guard them. But we definitely improved a lot defensively this year. You know, I told Coach Conkle that through our first 11 games this season, we were giving up 73 points a game. But during our last seven, we're only allowing about 62 a game. We're actually number one in conference-only games in scoring defense. So after limiting Middle Tennessee and UAB to under 60 points this last week in the tag. So I think it's going to just be a defensive grinded-out game. But we're going to have to know the scouting report very well, and we're going to have to know where Caver and Steve are at all times because they hardly ever leave the floor.
And you talk about a defensive grinded-out game. I think Saturday afternoon will be no different. Ron Sanchez in his first year as the head coach at Charlotte, former assistant for Tony Bennett at Virginia. So if we know anything about those Virginia teams, they really like to get after it on the defensive end of the floor.
No question. And when you think of Charlotte, you think of John Davis, which seems like he's been there about 8 years. He's one of the best scoring guards in this league. And it's just such a tough road trip, this swing. You know, it's going to take us a while to get to Norfolk tomorrow. And then, you know, having to travel in between those games and then play an early game on Saturday at Charlotte. These things are tough, and it's really hard to win on the road, especially when it comes to conference play, because yeah, everybody knows who everybody is. You're so familiar with each other, and everybody gets hyped up a little bit more when conference play is here. So two tough challenges, but I know the guys are excited, especially after coming off the last road trip we have. They have a little bit of, you know, that sour taste in their mouth the way that one ended in Texas against Rice and North Texas. So hoping to come away with one, maybe even two on this week.
And before we let you go, one more question. After the tough road trip this week at ODU and at Charlotte, the Bulldogs return home next Thursday night to host Marshall. They'll host Western Kentucky on Saturday afternoon, probably the top two teams in the preseason. I know you guys are expecting a big crowd for both of those.
Hope so. We need to pack the tack out as much as possible. You know, we've been able to remain undefeated at home this year at 10-0. We're actually one of only 12 teams in the country with double-digit home victories and zero losses. So we love the tack. We love playing on Karl Malone Court. And like you said, with Marshall being 3-0 right now in the league, you know, they won the tournament last year and made noise in the NCAA tournament. And then Western Kentucky coming into this season being picked as one of the top choices to win the league. And they have so much talent on that basketball team. Just two really great, entertaining games that are going to happen in the Thomas Assembly Center in Ruston. So, you know, obviously we're focused on this week with Old Dominion and the Charlotte, but two big ones next week in the Tech that we'll need everybody else to support us.
Absolutely, Kane. We're looking forward to a good week of Dunkin' Dog basketball. Thanks for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Kane McGuire, SID, Dunkin' Dogs, Louisiana Tech Hoops, like we mentioned, on the road Thursday night, 6 p.m. tip at Old Dominion. They'll be back in action Saturday afternoon at Charlotte. If you like defensive basketball, that's what we're going to see this weekend in Conference USA play for the Dunkin' Dogs. Lady Texters will be at home Thursday night against Old Dominion. They'll then host Charlotte on Saturday. We kind of see the mirror schedules this year in Conference USA. So basketball season's heating up. Dunkin' Dogs are playing well. Certainly hope that those guys can go on the road, pick up at least one, if not two, big conference wins to, you know, really kick things into gear before returning home next week against Marshall and against Western Kentucky. And, of course, we'll preview both of those games next week. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back from the break, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, final segment of the show. Ben Carlisle, flying solo tonight, John Tabor running the board. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott's Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, our good friends at O'Neill Gas, and our title sponsor, First National Bank. Just catching up on a few text messages from earlier. Colin, in reference to Jeff Duncan, believing Tulane's the number two team in the state. So, because their conference is nominally better, spends more money, and beat ULL, they are better? With a question mark, yeah, Colin, we're both feeling the same way. You got to get the results on the field before you can state that you are undeniably the best team in the state. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Tulane will be that in the near future. But I'm certainly thinking right now that Tech will continue their winning ways into 2019 and going forward as well, especially with Skip Holtz at the helm. I don't think Tech has seen this type of sustained success in quite some time. Just looking ahead, big recruiting weekend. National Signing Day is on February 6th. That's the first Wednesday in February. Skip Holtz and his staff will host some really big names. I'll put it that way. They got some big names coming in this weekend. Be sure to join us at the site. Only $9.95 a month. We'd love to have you. Like I mentioned, we like to believe, and it's certainly a fact, that our posters, you know, as well as myself, we provide some of the best in-depth knowledge, or the best in-depth knowledge that you will find around. One of our posters today actually went and broke down every single game that the Duncan Dogs have played, 18 in total this year, dissected, you know, what each player shoots from three-point range, what each player shoots from two-point range, what each player shoots for jump shots, what each player shoots from the free throw line, what each player shoots in the mid-range game. Also took a look at plus-minus ratings for each player, took a look at effective field goal percentage. So, you know, we've been breaking it down the last couple of weeks, looking at some pro football focus as to who performed the best for the Bulldogs individually. You know, at each position, you know, there's just so many different things that you'll find on BleedTechBlue.com that certainly make it well worth only $9.95 a month, especially as Coach Holtz and his staff continue to get near that late signing period on February 6th. I believe Tech has 11 signees that signed early. have another four that are remain committed. When you talk about Garen Boniol, a kicker out of Starkville, Mississippi. Boniol is the son of former Tech kicker Chris Boniol, who I believe just took a job with the Tampa Bay Bucks as an assistant special teams coach. Like we talked about with Mike Dettillier earlier, Charvis Thornton from Southern Lab in Baton Rouge is committed to Tech. Keavy Rose, big defensive end, probably ends up at tackle from Henderson, Texas, is committed. And then Deshaun Hall, as you heard Mike Dettillier earlier, really raved about Hall, you know, not only as his potential as a defensive tackle in the middle, but a guy that can really rush the passer as well. You know, join us, BleedTechBlue.com. Got some interesting recruiting battles, especially that'll come down to the wire probably when you talk about Charvis Thornton and Deshaun Hall. We'd love to have you on the site, and we'd love to interact with you on a daily basis as well. So coming up this week, AFC, NFC championships. Tabor, we were talking about it earlier, that Saints game on Sunday afternoon. If the Saints are able to go own and win the Super Bowl, tell our listeners what you had to say about that.
I just think that that'll be looked upon in history as one of the great all-time comebacks in division playoff.
And Philly had all the momentum. You know, 14-0, Breeze throws the interception, have a quick three and out on their second possession, and Philly's up. And it just seemed that the Dome kept them in it. They were really able to settle down. I know the offense wasn't exceptional, but, you know, you look after the game, the big drive was that 11-plus-minute drive that resulted in the Michael Thomas touchdown that really seemed to take the wind out of Philly's sails. The defense gets the big turnover on the final possession when the ball went through Jeffrey's hands. So this week, Saints-Rams in the Dome, 2:05 kickoff Sunday afternoon on Fox. Tapes, lead us off. Who you got?
I'm giving the points.
What's the line?
I think three and a half.
3.5, so you think it'll be tight?
It'll be tight, but I'm going to give away the points and take the Saints. I think they win by a touchdown.
Hey, I like it. I like it. I think it'll be a good game. You know, we saw the last two, they met earlier in the regular season. Saints were certainly beating the doors off of the Rams in the first half before Goff and company make a big comeback. Saints end up winning that one 45-35. I'm going to say Saints take this one by, let's say, a field goal. Saints win by a field goal off to the Super Bowl where they were faced either the Chiefs or the Patriots. The local angle, Ryan Allen, former Louisiana Tech punter, two-time Ray Guy Award winner, will be punting for the Patriots. Tabor, you got the young gunslinger and Patrick Mahomes, or you got the old vet, Tom Brady. I believe temperatures are supposed to be below zero. Just your typical middle of January game in Kansas City. Who you got?
This tough. I want to think Kansas City's finally going to break through and get it done, but I have to see it done.
I agree. I'm with you. I
that being said, I think they do.
All right, you're taking Kansas City.
I've got Kansas City late.
All right, Tabe's got Kansas City. I'm taking Tom. And I don't want to see Brady in the Super Bowl because, for one, he'll be going for his sixth Super Bowl. But for two, you don't bet against the Patriots. And I would much rather see, you know, my team, the Saints, play against Kansas City. So I'm going to take the Patriots. Hope I'm wrong. But Tapes has the Saints and the Chiefs. I got the Saints and the Patriots. Certainly be a big day on Sunday afternoon in the NFL playoffs. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, Duckin' Dogs will be on the road at Old Dominion and at Charlotte this week. Lady Texters will be at home hosting Old Dominion and Charlotte. Cookie on the Fairway Carts text line says, go Chiefs. Cookie, I'm right there with you. I hope the Chiefs win. I really like Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill really carried my fantasy team throughout the year. But that's all we got for tonight. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, same station, Sports Talk 97.7 FM. For Ben Carlisle, our producer, John Tabor, we'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
GM again because he helped put this team together.
No, he had nothing to do with Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, or Josh Hart being there. Nothing. So if he comes back and leads this team into contention, if he leads them to the fourth or fifth seed, then he will be in the MVP conversation. That's all I'm saying.
He's not winning an MVP. And
he'll be in the conversation.
He's always in the conversation. But for you to really put that out there and say, just because they shouldn't lose those games, LeBron or no LeBron. That's ridiculous.
I'm not saying that, but it's happening. And I'm saying it bolsters his MVP case.
How?
Now, right now, James Harden is the leader. Giannis is ahead of LeBron. Heck, maybe even Nikola Jokic is ahead of him just because he stayed healthy.
Spencer Dinwiddie's ahead of LeBron right now.
I'm saying, you're trying to crack jokes. I'm saying... If he brings them back and they get to the fourth or fifth seed, he will be in consideration. That's all I'm saying.
He ain't winning an MVP with this squad and with this team because they're going to be
this squad helps him because they have nobody else.
If they finish,
as evidenced by these recent losses,
if they finish in sixth or seventh in the conference, which is really what I said before the season started, that's where they're going to wind up at a first round exit. That's what this team is set up for.
Who are they afraid of outside of Golden State?
It ain't about being afraid.
I mean, seriously. Because
obviously they weren't afraid of the Knicks, but they couldn't beat them at home. They weren't afraid of the Cavaliers.
They'll have LeBron in the playoffs.
All right.
So are they going to be afraid of Denver in the playoffs in the first round?
It's not about being afraid. It's whether or not you're good enough.
They're not good enough to beat Denver.
They're last in free throw shooting. And one of the worst, they're now that the 3-point shooting is out the window again. They had a little window where they shot the ball well. Chris, look at the stats. They can't shoot
with LeBron.
They can't shoot free throws or threes.
They have no prayer of beating Nikola Jokic in the Denver Nuggets or James Harden in the Houston Rockets or Russell Westbrook in the OKC Thunder.
I didn't say they had no chance.
Or Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers. You saying they act like matter of factly they're going out in the first round? They're going out in the first round if they meet Golden State. If they meet somebody else, they got a shot. That's all I'm saying. Man, haterade.
What?
Look at that big glass of haterade you drinking. What? Ice to the brim.
Make mine a double.
Right. All right, one of the baddest men in the planet, Manny Pacquiao, joins us next. But first, let's get to Deb Carson for the latest in sports.
Hey, guys. Well, since you were talking about the Lakers, of course, they take on the Bulls tonight. LeBron James did take part in shoot-around. Not playing tonight, though. He's going to be reevaluated tomorrow to see how his groin is doing, see if he's ready to get going soon. Also, a couple of lineup changes for L.A. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will replace Josh Hart in the lineup. Tyson Chandler will replace JaVale McGee tonight at center. 76ers have signed free agent forward Corey Brewer to a 10-day contract. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says DeMarcus Cousins remains on track to return from his Achilles injury on Friday against the Clippers. Your check engine light could signify a variety of different issues with your car. The AutoZone Fix Finder service will help you troubleshoot the issue for free and save you time and money. A couple of switcheroos for you. The Pro Bowl roster is out, and the replacements for a couple of injured players or tired players in the case of Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers. Andrew Luck will serve as his Pro Bowl replacement. Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch will replace Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly. The NFL also did announce the coaches for the Pro